As Dory mentioned, I'm going to do a very quick apology in advance because I'm going to get my talk and run because I'm supposed to be in three places right now with the schedule the way that it ended up. But I am here to give kind of an overview of the topic. And so some of you know me also as the SSSA historian, and I oftentimes will put historical context into things when I'm at a presentation like this. And with the soul and human health thing on the historical side, what I really want to emphasize to you is that it's not a new idea that soils and human health have connections. Just for example, we can find biblical passages, and these passages date back to around 1400 BC, where there is a recognition of the idea that there's a link between soils and the human health. You can see here in the charge that Moses gives to the people he sends in to check out Canaan, he asks them about, you know, how is the soil? And he relates that to how are the people who live, you know, in that land. We also can look at the ancient Greeks, we know 400 BC. And Hippocrates, of course, is very well known within medical circles. The doctors to this day take the Hippocratic Oath, which goes back to Hippocrates. But notice that when he wrote up what should be considered in a proper medical evaluation, he included the ground. And what is the state of the ground? He viewed this as being important in terms of human health. Jump ahead a little bit, you know, obviously this is not an all-encompassing history, but we can see evidence here in the United States, for example, from the late 1700s, early 1800s. This is a text that was written in 1792 that says that men are like plants. The goodness and flavor of the fruit proceeds from the peculiar soil and exposition in which they grow. Okay. And in his 2002 book, Stoll noted that there was a definite link between enduring agriculture and enduring society. So this whole idea, you know, continues on in the 1900s. This particular yearbook, 1938, for soil scientists, this is a kind of a milestone in terms of the agricultural USDA yearbooks of agriculture that were published up until just a few years ago. And what this particular book is best known for in soil circles is the 1938 taxonomy system, which was the first time that we really classified soils in the U.S. based on the properties of the soil. But taxonomy was not the only thing that was happening in this book. There actually were at least three chapters in that book that recognized links between soils and human health. In 1957, there was another soil edition of the yearbooks of agriculture. And in that edition, there was also recognition that not only were soils important from the perspective of nutrient supply for human health, but that we also could end up with elements in toxic levels that would cause problems for human health. Summan Waksman, of course, is also very well known within soil science circles. We have a soil scientist here who has a Nobel Prize, and that Nobel Prize is in physiology or medicine, awarded for the work that his research group did in the discovery of antibiotics or the isolation of antibiotic compounds from soil organisms. This continues to be a major link between soils and human health. To this day, the majority of antibiotics that we have access to have origins with soil organisms. So if you've ever gotten sick, gone to the doctor, they give you that little magic pill to make you feel better in a couple of days, there's a high probability that that you owe that better feeling somewhere along the line to soil organisms and to that link between soils and human health. As we move through the 1900s, we got a lot of traction to this idea that we have links between soils and human health. Again, just some examples. It wasn't just government, also private industry. We have the International Harvester Company that put out this booklet here, but it's actually a fascinating book to read from the Soils and Human Health Connection perspective, because there's a whole host of quotes in this book. I've selected just one, but it's by no means an all-encompassing representation of what's in here. But you see that stoop-shouldered, that poor soils lead to stoop-shouldered, poverty-stricken people. And again, a number of other quotes in that book that provide those links. Sir Albert Howard, a pretty well-known individual in our modern world, with, especially with the organic agriculture movement. And Howard himself, while he's best known for that organic agriculture and the pushing of the idea that we can improve soils and plants through that, within his books, this is just one of the books he wrote, of course. He has this connection made in more than one of his writings, but he has a chapter in The Soil and Health that very specifically addresses, you know, his perspectives on links between soils and human health. Or we have the French scientist André Vasson, again, Soil, Grass, and Cancer, an entire book on the links between soils and human health, written in the late 1950s. While the title says Soils, Grass, and Cancer, if you go through and actually read the book, he certainly addresses how he views links existing between soils and cancer, but there's soils and heart disease, soil and diabetes. He's got a whole host of things that that he looked at and that he felt were health issues that were could be linked back to soils and inappropriate supply of nutrition, or unbalanced supply of nutrition in some cases, through those soils. Vasson, I don't have the quote in this in here, so I'll paraphrase it, but Vasson basically stated that we spend a lot of time and a lot of money on human health issues, but that human health and the maintenance of human health should start with soil as opposed to with medical treatment, because he felt that there was that much of a connection between them. So it's a long history, actually, of people at least recognizing that we have links that exist between soils and human health. At the end of the 1900s, Margaret Oliver published a kind of a landmark paper within this soils and human health idea in the European Journal of Soil Science, and in it she noted that we have a dearth of quantitative information on the relations between soils, elements of the soil and human health, but much speculation and anecdotal evidence, and that very definitely is true. We didn't at that point in time have a lot of really truly scientific studies that made all these links, but we can go back over thousands of years of people looking at soils, looking at human health, and making notes that, you know what, it makes a lot of sense that we have connections, you know, in these areas. Okay, so the big point to this point in my talk is that this is not a new idea, actually. This is something that's been around for a long time. What we really need at this point in time are well-designed studies that rigorously investigate these relationships between soils and human health using scientific methods. Okay, so what kinds of things do we look at? There are a lot of topics that come up in this idea of soil and human health, and so I'm going to go through some of the big trends that have been looked at. Probably the most common trend that we look at, most common relationships, are those between nutrient supply from the soil, you know, to humans. And of course, everyone in the room here is aware of this fact, but we, you know, we grow plants, we grow crops for consumption in soil. Those crops get nutrients from the soil that are then passed on to whatever eats the plant. And so whether it's us consuming the plant directly or us consuming at some point along the line meat products fed from those plants, the nutrients, many of the nutrients that we're getting from those plants, they link back to soils and soil conditions. Something else that's received a good deal of attention, particularly in recent years, is exposure to toxic levels of chemicals. This can be organic chemicals in the case of many pesticides, for example, in today's world. It can be inorganic chemicals. We do have situations where we've had increases in heavy metals or things of that nature in soils due to various management decisions that have been made. It may be an overexposure to something that wouldn't normally cause any big problems, but because of an overapplication, we end up with issues from that. Soil pathogens, the next talk up, we'll talk about that in much more detail. But there are a number of things we can be exposed to in the soil that can cause health problems for us on that biological front. Soils and water have received a lot of attention in recent years. Soils can be a natural filter, which removes materials, potential contaminants from water, and therefore provides clean water sources for us. But soils that are contaminated can also be a source of contamination problems within water that makes its way through those soils. So several relationships that we have there. Geophagy, the deliberate consumption of soil, practiced in many societies still in various parts of the world. And so this is actually an area of soils and human health that has been researched much more by the anthropological community than by the soils or agricultural communities. But there are very definite both potential positives and very definite negatives that can derive from that. I mentioned antibiotics earlier. The fact of the matter is that in today's world, approximately 40% of all prescription drugs that that are out there on the market have an origin in soil. If you think about how much we spend here in the United States on medical care every year, on medical prescriptions every year, and you think that, okay, I know it's not necessarily a straight up 40% means 40% of the money, but if 40% of prescriptions are coming from soil, that's a pretty significant economic impact on this world of ours, and of course, a very significant health impact. And then with soil conservation and food security issues, these are things that have received a lot of attention over the last several decades within the agronomic community from a crop yield perspective and a straight-up feeding people perspective. But if you really want to talk about humans and health, if you can't eat, how healthy are you? So, very definite links here as well with the soils and the human health issues. So those are some of the things that have received a lot of attention just in the last few decades, and in some cases going back further, but certainly over the last two or three decades. Now, there are a number of areas where we have some pressing needs for research going into the future. First off, you can include pretty much anything that I talked about in the previous couple of slides, because, again, there's a pressing need for scientific-based research into those areas. But there are a number of areas we haven't spent a lot of time looking at, in many cases because they're either very difficult to look at or because they involve collaborations which, as scientists, we have not traditionally found to be natural collaborations. Just for an example, when is the last time anybody in this room has gone looking for a research professional in the medical field to collaborate with on a research project? I see no hands. Okay, we got one hand up here. Somebody with some is looking for the future. These are not things that we tend to find to be a natural connection. And it's not always because we don't think that's something that should be a connection, but even for me, I go and I'm going to work with somebody who has human health as a major portion of their research curriculum or their research program, and I kind of sit there and go, can I actually talk to them and understand? Can we understand each other? That becomes a barrier in trying to do this kind of stuff. You've got to be able to communicate professionally. But interactive relationships between chemicals and the environment, this is something that has not received a lot of attention. It's a very difficult thing to understand. But a good example of where we need better understanding here is what we call Iti disease. This is something, there was a famous example from Japan that happened a few decades ago. Basically, we had a factory that contaminated the water in a stream. That stream was used for irrigation of rice fields. The cadmium contamination ended up in the soil that the rice was being grown in because of that irrigation with the contaminated water. And then the cadmium passed on to the rice. The Iti disease causes all kinds of nasty problems. You can see this is the victim here, weak bones, damage to major organs, not a nice thing to end up with. But there is a location in England, Shipham, England, where they have very similar cadmium levels in the soil, yet they don't have the same problems that the Japanese experienced with this. Now, I suppose one possibility is that the cadmium wasn't, in fact, the culprit in the itchy disease. But what's probably more likely is that we are seeing some other interactions taking place either in the soil or in the diet that led to the lack of problem in shippum. So for example, the English diet in the shippum area tends to be much higher in zinc and iron than the Japanese diet. Zinc and iron are known to be able to interfere, if you will, with the uptake of cadmium in the body. And so maybe that higher zinc and iron content in the diet is providing some protection, even though the cadmium is present. The English diet tends to be more diverse than the Japanese diet. The pH of the soils is different in shippum versus in the Japanese instance. So there's definitely more going on here than just the cadmium levels that led to the problem. And those interactions are very important to understand. Effects of climate change on soils and how that in turn affects human health, a very important area as well. I noticed that there's also a discussion of that later in today's program. Environmental estrogens and antibiotic residues have been something that has received a good deal of attention in recent years, but is still something that's really not certainly fully understood. And it's kind of some of the maybe less traditional type of a way to look at things, possible benefits from contact with healthy soil. We know from a number of studies that people who are exposed to natural green-type environments and settings, where they've had surgery, they're recovering from major illness, they recover better than if they're looking out, for example, of a hospital window with a brick wall sitting, you know, 5 feet. There's another hospital window. Exposure to nature has shed proven benefits from a health perspective. There is some preliminary information that suggests perhaps that's also true with soils, but not, again, scientifically researched and understood. Electronic waste. This is a really big one in today's world. All of these iPads and smartphones and laptops and other things that we have that are very common in this modern world of ours have a number of things that are contained within them that are not so nice when they're out in the environment. We know that they are not always appropriately disposed of, and improper disposal can cause environmental contamination. What happens with those compounds once they end up in the soil? That's something that's really not well understood at this point in time. I should mention back here, as I talk about these things too, and we talked about several cases of things in soil. When I started getting kind of really involved in the looking at the soil and human health type of issues, I got a hold of a toxicologist who has human health research as a part of his research interests. And I got him to kind of start getting involved in this as well, and we've done some stuff together. But after Lynn had a chance to do a little bit of a review of some of the soils literature involving contamination in the soil, he came into my office and he said, as you soil scientist, you're really good at knowing what's in your soil, because you have no clue what it means from a human health perspective. That's something we got to work on. And it's people like toxicologists that have that background and that training to try to sort that stuff out. So future needs, we need these complex interdisciplinary research teams that have the various types of expertise that are needed. There is nobody in any of these areas that can fully address this topic on their own. Excuse me. As you can see here, we got a list, lots of different disciplines that are involved in this topic. We've got the soil scientists, we've got the agronomists, we have anthropologists, medical personnel, public health personnel. All of these different groups, through the work they do, have aspects of this topic that are relevant that they can bring in that would strengthen our ability to address it. Another major issue that we need to look at is funding of this kind of work. Who funds soils and human health research? Do traditional funding pathways work for this type of research? These are things that we need to look at as well and try to figure out. And just to kind of to finish up, just for additional information, there have been a number of various papers published over the last 10 years or so. These are just review papers that I've got up here, obviously much more in the original research literature. But if you are looking for more information on the topic, these are some places that that you can start with that work. So with that, I'm done with mine. So do we have any time for questions?
You have about, yes, we have 1 minute for questions.
Okay.
Eric is leaving us, so it would be good to ask him now if you have a question or a thought that you want to put into the mill. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Are you exploring these issues or some of the existing your work or collaborating with others?
Some of them. I've got some collaborations going with a couple of biologists that have human health aspects to their research. One is the toxicologist, also with a cancer researcher, and so we're trying to look at some of these things. So
and you're from Dickinson,
right?
So the connection between the oil fields and soil health, and
that there definitely is interest there as well. We're not working so much looking at that so much directly at the moment ourselves. Other things going on, not enough time. I have actually though. I've been contacted a couple of times by people in other parts of the country who have an interest in looking into some of those things, and I've talked to some people about some of the areas that might be good to look at and possibilities in this general area that relate to the oil fields. So absolutely, that is a concern. So.
Thank you, Eric.
Okay.